Welcome to The Dynamics Hot Dish, the podcast where Ashley Steiner, Allie Nelson, and Liz McLennan dish up the latest news and insights about dynamics in the Power Platform. Join us to explore business applications and low-code development with tips, tricks, and real-world experiences. So grab a seat at the table and let's dig in. Welcome. We are recording live from Microsoft Ignite here in Seattle, Washington. And we have a special guest with us today. So thank you for being here, Angela. We have Angela Byers on, and she's a product marketer at Microsoft. So will you just start with telling us a little bit about yourself, your background, how long you've been at Microsoft for?
Sure. Well, first, thank you for having me here. I'm Angela Byers. I'm the Senior Director of Product Marketing for Customer Experience Solutions at Microsoft. So that's Dynamics 365 Sales, Dynamics 365 Customer Insights, and what was just announced today, Microsoft Copilot for Sales. I've been a product marketer for a long time. I previously led marketing for Microsoft Viva, Project Planner, Visio, SharePoint, OneDrive. I'm so excited to be here. Yes, you asked a good question. So what does a product marketer do? I'd say we are responsible for turning products into profitable businesses. So I think of PMM as the hub where all the spokes, product team, engineering team, pricing, packaging, finance, salespeople, partners, you name it, all those spokes poke into. And we kind of, in partnership with the wheel, we develop the growth strategy and we get everybody to roll in the same direction.
So when something cool new comes out, it comes across your plate and then you figure out how to talk about it to the general public?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and figure out how we turn that into value propositions that sell.
Awesome. That sounds very interesting. It sounds like you're in a position to really learn about the new stuff that's coming out. And I think that's a really fun position to be in.
I do like my job very much.
And you must work with probably a lot of different teams at Microsoft then. I can't imagine that that's a boring job. You must have a lot of just, diversity in what you're doing, right?
Yeah, nothing is dull. Something is new every day.
That's awesome.
Cool. So like you guys said, we are here at Microsoft Ignite in Seattle. We're thrilled to be here. Angela, what are your suggestions for us? What are you looking forward to at Ignite? What should we look forward to at Ignite? Give us a little bit of your perspective on what to expect here.
Yeah. Well, definitely catch all the keynotes. So hopefully you caught some of that this morning and they're obviously on demand later. So Jira Spataro today spoke about Microsoft Copilot, our singular Copilot. And that is has a lot of relevance for business applications because we're applying that to business context and marry that with business and customer data, business workflows, and that's incredibly powerful. And of course, I have to give a plug for the customer experience sessions that is happening tomorrow. Transform customer experience with Dynamics 365 and next generation AI. You get to hear the latest and greatest product demos from our leaders, Jim Nakashima and Aaron Bjork. You also hear from Dell, who's been implementing Sales Copilot. So you get to hear what they're learning from their IT implementation. Of course, visit us on the show floor if you're here. It's so exciting. Gosh, I think this is my sixth Ignite. While I do miss Orlando Convention Center and Universal Studios, but I am looking forward to Pacific Science Center tomorrow, the celebration. So hopefully you all be there.
That sounds fantastic. And honestly, the convention center here is gorgeous. It seems very new. When we walked up yesterday, we were amazed at how nice it was. And it seems to have a very good flow, which is important for conferences because sometimes you can feel like it's crowded or there's too many people. And I haven't felt that yet here. So this seems like a really good space for it.
Absolutely. I think they limited the in-person attendees, which sold out in like hours or something like that. So
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Not to mention the virtual option this year as well.
Yeah.
So people could watch the live streams that were happening. We noticed that there's a lot of cameras around and there's a lot of people from around the world who are tuning into Ignite this year too, which is crazy. And I liked seeing those social features during the keynote as well of people from around the world who were chiming in and commenting already. And someone in the Philippines was up at 1 a.m. to catch the keynote.
Wow.
I think it's global reach. It's amazing.
Well, and it's awesome to have that too. I think it's 2 days of free content available online. And so like how incredible of an opportunity that is just for everyone that can't be here in person. And I think Microsoft does such a good job at planning a hybrid event, to your point, Allie. Like it's really a nice, seamless experience. You can tell there's a lot of
thought and intention and effort put into it. So as an attendee and a participant, we appreciate it.
Well, welcome. It's you guys' first Ignite, right?
Yeah. So we're rookies. Ignite rookies.
We're Ignite rookies, yes. But proud of it. I'm proud to be here.
Hopefully,
I hope it's not
year.
Our last.
Okay, so a lot of really exciting stuff has happened this year and more was announced today. So just can you give us kind of the really quick short overview of what is new with D365 in customer experience? We've heard about Sales Copilot and then Customer Service Copilot got announced. Yeah. So can you share a little bit more about that?
Yeah, well, I'll be happy to give you the lowdown on our news. We announced a ton of Copilot capabilities in our core Dynamics 365 Sales and Customer Insights. So let me start with those first. In Dynamics 365 Sales, where Copilot capabilities have been generally available for a while, today we announced two new pretty exciting ones. Natural language. So in addition to pre-built prompts you can use on the side pane of D365 Sales to query about opportunities and leads, now you can use natural language to make that even better. We also announced full screen. So imagine Bing Chat or M365 Chat, or better yet, everybody probably knows about ChatGPT. Imagine that interface, but for a seller now in that text box, they can use natural language or pre-built prompts to get quickly up to speed on their latest customer opportunities. How am I doing against my quota? What should I work on next in terms of opportunities? So really useful features for our sellers. Then in Customer Insights, where again, Copilot capabilities have been available for a while, we announced two new things: better customer profile summaries. Now it's enhanced with demographic, analytical data, and more. We also announced some new features for better marketing to sales handoff. Marketing can qualify opportunities with engagement scores now, and sellers in D365 Sales can easily see that. So really valuable information. Last but not least, we announced a new partnership with Optimizely, their great digital platform for personalizing marketing campaigns. And we announced a bi-directional integration with Dynamics 365 Customer Insights. And so now, for example, in Optimizely, you can use the customer segments you built in CI directly with it. So very exciting news in our core apps. And yes, then you mentioned, we announced Copilot for Sales and Copilot for Service. We announced these new business copilots to help bring the power of Copilot for Microsoft 365, not just across Microsoft Graph and those apps, but also to systems of records. And so Copilot for Sales works with any CRM and it helps sellers automate away mundane tasks, help them identify and prioritize leads, personalize their communications at scale. Copilot for Service does something very similar. With a few clicks, you can easily apply Copilot to all of the data sources, whether including contact center information, website, trusted documents, all of that. And with a few clicks, you have generative AI-powered conversations across all of those data sources, empowering your service agents to effectively serve their customers. So really exciting. And yes, I only talked about the customer experience news across Microsoft. We announced so much, today.
And even circling back to what you said at the beginning, too, of like the singular Copilot branding that's coming out now. So I know there's all these different versions of Copilot. And then what we heard this morning was it's copilot.microsoft.com. It's kind of that singular branding as well, because even as you're talking, I'm still practicing transitioning to customer insights, right? Because I'm used to saying marketing.
Yeah.
And so we're kind of getting familiar with all these different terms. But I do like that it was announced that Copilot is our branding. We're kind of sticking with that language. Is there anything else that you have to add about that whole singular Copilot concept?
Yeah, I think that's a great point you picked out. In response to customer feedback, they really want streamlined access to a single Copilot technology. So now with this new announcement, we're bringing that single large language model, the power of that, and applying it to, as I said, like not only the Microsoft Graph data, Microsoft 365 apps, but we're going to apply that to business and customer data, apply it to an organization's specific workflows to really tailor the Copilot for every function and every business role in an organization. And you also probably caught the Copilot Studio news. So now we have even really easy way for organizations to customize, extend across the co-pilots that we pre-built. And so just the art of possibility is infinite.
Oh my gosh, yes. And I'm just getting more and more excited the more that you're talking, Angela, because there's so many possibilities. And there were so many times that Liz and I turned to each other in the keynote today and we're like, that's really cool. That sounds awesome.
It's also a bit overwhelming though, yes, too, because it's a lot of really exciting stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and as you were talking about opportunities and Copilot for sales and tying into what Liz, you just said about the possibility, I know all the time managers want a very quick summary of their team's open opportunities to know what's in their pipeline and what's Absolutely. Coming. And historically, we've tried to do graphical interfaces of using out-of-the-box charts or building Power BI reports. Mm-hmm. But now it sounds like we're going to have this really great option with Copilot where they can just ask it a question and say, summarize my team's open opportunities, and they'll be able to get that. And that's a real-life example that people do. So I think that's great.
Copilot is really breaking down silos of what we used to define as apps, right? And it's opening possibilities for reimagining user experience. There's no need to know how to get to a specific place in your CRM to know how to see the latest on an opportunity. You can just go to that full screen view I talked about and just use natural language to ask it. So right in the flow of work.
Angela, you made a point, and they did in the keynote today, that it connects to any CRM system. And yes. I think legacy CRM and going back a while, like it was always like, oh, Microsoft works nicely within the Microsoft stack. So can you speak to like why Microsoft made that decision for it to just connect to any source, and especially competitors like Salesforce? Can you share a little bit more about that?
Absolutely. Our Dynamics 365 Sales is very powerful. I think this year we won again Gartner's and Forrester's leadership positions, and we actually leads in vision. With all that said, we've heard a lot of non-Dynamics 365 customers who said, hey, I would love to be able to tap into the power of Microsoft Copilot. So today's announcement with Copilot for Sales and Copilot for Service that works really with any CRM is our response to that. We want to enable any organizations to be able to tap into the power of that. So Copilot for Sales, right, has native integration with Salesforce Sales Cloud. And with the connectors in Copilot Studio, you could connect to other CRM systems as well. And I believe Copilot for Service comes out of the box with integration with ServiceNow and Sales Cloud, Salesforce as well, with more connectors that an organization can use to connect to other ones if that's what they use.
And honestly, I think one of my favorite slides from this morning in the keynote was Microsoft hearts open source, right? We saw that multiple different times. And I think that speaks to it as well, is and tying into the Teams ecosystem too, is what they said, there's 145,000 apps that you can connect to in Teams or something like that. Yeah, it's just an insane big number. And I think it shows that Microsoft is trying to collaborate with all these other companies and try to just get users in the platform using all of their tools in one place, because again, it's all about the people, it's all about the users, and we want them to have a good user experience with the technologies that they have at their fingertips.
Absolutely,
customer and employee experience.
So Angela, as a consultant, I am often working with new businesses who have not used Dynamics 365 Sales, or they have not used Dynamics 365 Customer Insights. They may have used one product or were implementing another. When we're talking about a brand new implementation of a Dynamics 365 product, where do you see Copilot fitting into that implementation process? Do you think it's part of the initial implementation? Is it a second phase? Is it a training thing? How do you see this all fitting together?
I think a lot of the same implementation steps apply, but they're just additional considerations in some of those steps. I'm sure as you're working with your client first, helping them even choose the right sales CRM, for example, right? Now you have additional features, generative AI features, Copilot features to evaluate. Evaluate them against, you know, quality, accuracy, diversity, efficiency, all of that. You know, another example might be defining the scope and KPIs for an implementation. Now you want to spend a little bit more time in defining the use cases for the Copilot capabilities. And I think another big difference might be in the adoption and change management part, really doubling down on educating users on the fundamentals of Copilot capabilities to encourage experimentation. What is the most useful use cases? And then tracking those, and then refining and then scaling up the most useful use cases.
Yeah, and truthfully, I like what you said there too, because where my mind went is helping with user adoption with Copilot too. Because Copilot is available outside of the Dynamics applications, yes, people may be getting familiar with it without using a Dynamics application, right? So yeah, when it's available, I can see the user adoption being much quicker. If they're like, oh, cool, I have Copilot available in here, I know how to use it, I've used it before for all of this, and now it's just in this other application for me to now query the data that I'm inputting into this application or whatever the case may be there.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think the best way to learn how to leverage Copilot or generative AI generally is just start using it. And the best part is so easy to get started. Once you spend about 10 hours with it, then you really kind of start to get the hang of the possibility, limitations, you know, where it can assist you.
What have you found personally from using Copilot that you really like to use so far?
As a marketer, I started with leveraging Copilot on some simpler communication tasks that I somehow never got to, like writing my LinkedIn posts. Very handy. And I do a little bit of adjustment, and otherwise I just never get to doing my own social. So I started with things like that, and certainly a lot of email summaries, catching up on missed meetings like many of you. The one I tried last week is using it to help me get started on a competitive analysis. I've learned it's very useful to give context to the Copilot, let them know that, you know, they are a consultant helping me analyze, do some competitive analysis, and then I give them some specific steps of, hey, I would like 5.3 focusing on product differences, 2 focusing on price. I give some directions, and I'm really pleasantly surprised at the first draft it's able to come back with. The best part is it always documents the sources, so I can go to them and verify and also know where to prompt Copilot to refine next.
Yeah, the sources are great to verify accuracy, because just like anything, you still have to check that. So I've used it in a lot of similar ways. I've also been using it for grant writing, something that I didn't have any previous experience with, but it does really help expedite that process. I also just feel like it's important to drive home to edit the content. Like, I think if you just do a copy and paste, you can start to tell AI-generated content that hasn't been edited by the author before posting online. But it's super helpful for all that stuff. I totally agree.
Yeah.
It is. I love what you said about that, too, because this goes back to a conversation Liz and I were having yesterday about Copilot and social posts, is if you ever see a social post that ends with, in conclusion, chances are that came from Copilot, because it always loves doing that. It's so funny.
Or like these so headlines true. With the emojis on each side. I'm like, chat wrote that for sure. Like ChatGPT. Are there any other kind of low-hanging fruit use cases that you see maybe businesses starting with for Copilot? Because I think, when we think of deploying Dynamics, we always think of like, where are we going to get the most ROI out of the phase one? And you prioritize. You can't do everything all at once. So what other kind of low-hanging fruit use cases, business scenarios, business value do you see?
I think focusing on the easiest to use and highest value features is the best practice in every IT rollout, but it's so much more important in Copilot and generative AI. So I'll share some examples. Internally, we've been rolling out Copilot for Sales with our own sales team. And some of their favorite features, most used things, are things like catching up on customer emails, summarizing that thread, using it to generate the first draft of their email replies to customers, because now Copilot not only knows the Outlook emails exchange, it even knows about the Teams meeting recaps with that customers, and with the connection to CRM, it can also pull in the customer data and product information from the CRM. So that's super handy. Another favorite one is actually our kind of one-click CRM update from within Outlook and Teams. So now a seller never has to switch to whether it's Salesforce Sales Cloud or even Dynamics 365 Sales to enter a new opportunity or contact information. Just write an Outlook. It'll identify it's a new contact, and with one click, it updates your CRM. So those little things add up. Our sellers have actually been reporting that they're saving at least an average of 90 minutes a week. And I think almost 80% of them say that it's improving their productivity, helping them be more effective. And I think something like, gosh, two-thirds of them at least said that they can now spend more time with customers, and they felt that the quality of communications were improving, which is great. I love it when technology can help the users do more of what they love, and for sellers, that's spending time with customers, solving their problems.
That's exactly what sellers want to do too. I think one of the biggest barrier to entry of getting people to use a new CRM system, well, salespeople specifically, is that it takes time.
Yeah.
And every requirements gathering we have for a sales implementation is it's got to be easy. It's got to be few clicks. It's got to be quick, you know, because teams want their sellers out in front of people. So I think everything you said there is incredibly important, especially that data entry piece where they don't have to create contacts anymore. If you can just automatically detect what's in your email and click a button and have that contact created, that's incredible. Like, that's a huge value add for salespeople because they don't really like entering data to begin with.
Who does, right?
Yes, no one does.
Exactly.
It's a waste of time. Yeah, it's really bringing the what's in it for me, for the salesperson. And I've been in sales roles. I kind of am currently in a way. And so, yeah, I'm like, I want that button. That would be awesome. Yeah. I'm definitely going to have to look into that when I get home.
Yes, we will get you hooked up with that.
Sounds good.
And if going back on what you said here as well, with your own Microsoft sellers starting to use Copilot, how did they get started? Because another thing that we hear a lot outside of sales, everybody's very busy, right?
Yeah.
Leadership as well. Leaders are always busy. It can be slower to adopt technology because there's fires to put out and things to do and margins to report on and everything, right? So what advice do you have, or what have you seen just to get people started on using the new technology?
I'm probably preaching to the choir here. You can always find your power users and champions in any audience population. You'll find those that's so excited. They're always on the bleeding edge. And so I know inside our own organization, with Copilot or any new technology, we focus a lot on finding those power users first, getting them engaged, and then getting them cheerlead the rest of the organization on. I think another thing we learned is, again, nothing crazily innovative, but we have tip sheet, 10 things to get started with Copilot. Try these 10 things. And you mentioned everyone is so busy, but I think with Copilot, it really is so easy to get started, and it has benefits for everyone. I think even for executives. Executives sometimes are the last people to want to embrace and learn a new technology. But I know our Microsoft executives, actually a recent blog they wrote was their favorite AI time savers. They're getting into it. They're realizing value. And that's always important from an adoption change management when you can kind of see both the bottoms up, the power user champions, and maybe the top down modeling from the leadership of using the technology.
Yeah, I mean, what's the best, to use Liz's words, what's in it for me other than like, we'll save you time. Okay, I'm on board. If you're going to save me time, that sounds great.
Well, and lead by example. This is a very historical legacy CRM user adoption scenario for sales. But when I was working with teams as a consultant, if a sales team was struggling to use CRM consistently, I would ask the managers, are you pulling up their dashboard to drive their weekly call or your one-on-one? And if they were, usually adoption wasn't as big of a problem. If the managers weren't using it, the sales team isn't going to use it, because it's
right.
Like, well, if they aren't taking this seriously or they're not willing to invest their time in it, why should I? And so I think that leading by example really helps too in any scenario.
Absolutely.
And sharing scenarios with your team as well. If someone's doing something cool, like Angela said, use a tip sheet. But if you find out something really cool, share it with your team, because chances are that that could benefit somebody else as well.
What was they announced? Yeah. Is it Lab in the keynote? They were covering some sort of hub.
Oh, Copilot Lab.
Yeah, where you could share what you were doing and like prompting advice. It was called Lab, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
That was new for me today. I had not heard of that before. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the peer learning is so incredibly important in this one, in our own marketing organization, yes, we have like the formal online generative AI training for marketers. Once a month, someone in your organization might hold a brown bag to kind of share their favorite prompts. I know on the weekend, I love reading articles on, oh gosh, okay, this is a really cool new way to use the prompt or build my own chatbot. Yeah, it really helps just because the possibilities are so limitless. There's going to be a lot of great ideas from peers, from the communities.
Yeah, and prompting has been such a big topic of conversation too. Liz and I were also chatting about this recently. When people started talking about how to write prompts, it was, why is this such a big conversation? And it didn't really strike me at first. I think same thing for Liz. And then now that we've started using Copilot or seeing more examples, we're truly seeing why it's important, because in order to get the results that you want, you need to be very specific sometimes. I think that's a key takeaway as well of like, read how others are prompting. Don't just dismiss it, because it is really important, and you can see that the output you get might be different based on how you prompt.
Yeah, yeah. And I think Copilot technology, it's ever evolving, right? It's going to get better and better. And so it just means the way you prompt and interact with it, hopefully should get easier over time, but it's just going to be different as the technology evolves. So it's just important to keep up with your peers and communities.
Absolutely. It's going to be a fun adventure that we're all going on together.
Yeah,
it's exciting. I remember right when ChatGPT came out about a year ago, my husband and I would just like sit on the couch and just kind of play with it. What can we ask it? What is it good at? What is it not good at yet? And so it's not like you're going to break something.
Yeah.
So like, it doesn't hurt if you ask it and it's not helpful. So just kind of trial and error it. Like, I just don't see a lot of risk in getting it wrong. And I think that will just help you anyone explore what the possibilities are with it and kind of learn as you go.
Definitely.
Yeah, it never hurts to try.
Yeah.
Angela, as a product marketer, do you have to build emails or any type of collateral that go out into the public eye that they have to see? And if you do, is that something that you can use Copilot to help kind of design now? I'm just curious because I haven't done anything like that. So I'm curious what your thoughts are.
Yeah. There are a lot of possibilities for marketers. Copilot is helping my team and I do first drafts on a lot of things. Again, we start with the lower risk use cases first and learn. So some of our internal communications, right? Every company has a lot of newsletters.
Yes.
Mass distributed emails. So I'm focusing on using the Copilot technology first on those internal communications. The keynote that you saw earlier this morning, all human touch because it's original content, but I can easily put Copilot, feed that content into it, and it can tell it to write, hey, I need a newsletter, one paragraph in the style and tone about this keynote. And it'll do a really good, it does a very good job summarizing thing. It's a very good writer, word predictor. So
absolutely, yeah.
And even with branding, I don't know who came up with the coloring and stuff that's coming out with Copilot and Ignite here. Everything is so colorful and beautiful.
Yeah.
But I can even see taking that branding and putting it into Copilot and saying, use our branding. And then everything comes out in the color scheme that you want. And I think that's wonderful, too.
Yeah. Did you look at our roadmap? No, I'm kidding. You will soon see more of that, right? As marketers, we think a lot about consistent branding to marketing collaterals. We have some capabilities of that. And soon that is definitely a direction we're thinking about. Very important to apply branding.
Sneak peek, coming soon. As a consultant now and being very familiar with our Dynamics 365 platform, we're usually pretty siloed. We have our customer engagement team, we have our finance and supply chain teams, we have Business Central, we have tech services, we have people who do BI reporting, right? We all kind of stay in our lanes. And now with something like Copilot coming out, we're all going to be using this technology. It's going to be a similar experience for all of us. It's going to be throughout these applications that we're all going to use. What advice do you have, or what kind of do you see in the future for teams that need to collaborate a little bit more on using and implementing similar technologies? It seems like we don't so much have silos anymore. Yeah. We're going to be kind of blending and acting as one big team. What are your thoughts there?
Definitely. Copilot is really breaking down the silos between apps and any company's technology stack. Copilot is woven into every application. That means the responsibility of Copilot really rests on so many IT teams across every functions and businesses. So far, I've seen a variety from very centralized approach, right? Like a central IT unit managing all of it for the entire company, to a very decentralized approach where each business unit is sort of responsible for the rollout and the resources and all of that and everything in between. I think what's most important is just having a good governance structure with cleared roles and responsibilities defined for stakeholders across however many business units or teams is involved in it. And then having a shared set of policies and standards for how to use Copilot and generative AI and policies for managing and monitoring the risks. So I think that's probably what's most important. And we'll learn a lot as we see organizations going about rolling out Copilot and realizing value.
How do you think organizations should get started by coming up with a governance plan? Where's a good place for them to start?
As a company, I know we have defined our own responsible AI principles. I'm not as familiar with that domain, but I bet we've already made available some resources to help customers, at least as a reference point. That's a good place to start, is just kind of seeing how other companies and organizations are doing it and learning it from there. Again, I think the most important part is just doubling down on the fundamentals, on educating people on the technology and encouraging that innovation, but then having the systems and policies in place to monitor the risk. Because I think there's a lot of great possibilities, but we also know if we aren't careful, there can be downsides and risks too, so we just have to balance both.
Angela, thanks for spending your time here with us today. It's been a real pleasure speaking with you. I'll write it down now, but you're going to come on our podcast again because we have so much more to talk about with you.
I really enjoy chatting with you too, so I'm looking forward to being back.
Thank you. So we do have our signature question that will run past you. We're Dynamics Hot Dish, so we have to ask, what is your favorite hot dish?
So, funnily, I did grow up in the Midwest in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, but I never knew hot dish was until you guys invited me and I Googled it. I'm from an immigrant family from Hong Kong, and my aunt ran a Chinese restaurant, so I didn't know what a hot dish was. I didn't really know much outside of Chinese food until I went to college. But in researching it, I learned what a hot dish was, and I think one of my favorite Cantonese comfort food qualifies. Baked pork chop over rice, as it says, rice, pork chops, then tomato sauce and frozen vegetables and some cheese on top. So I think that qualifies as a hot dish, yeah?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And that sounds filling and comforting and warming. So that's the perfect answer. That sounds awesome.
Yeah.
I'm hungry now.
Yeah, it's lunchtime and now can we go eat that right now? I'll have to look up a recipe for that. That actually sounds like a good winter meal.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, for sure. I'll send you one.
Thanks. We can put in the show notes.
Sounds good.
All right. Well, thanks so much, Angela. It's been a joy talking with you. Liz and I appreciate being here with you, and we hope you enjoy the rest of Ignite, and maybe our paths will cross again over the next 2 days.
Definitely. Thank you again, and enjoy the rest of your first Ignite.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
The end.
Thanks for tuning in to Dynamics Hot Dish, your go-to podcast for all things Dynamics 365 and the Power Platform. If you found this episode helpful, be sure to subscribe and leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform. And don't forget to follow us on social media for even more insights and updates on the latest trends and best practices in business applications and low-code development. We'll be back soon with another delicious serving of Dynamics and Power Platform goodness. Until then, keep innovating and building great solutions.